prophet. Christ is coming soon. In him and through him we have grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father. Our text and theme for today is Luke chapter 21, verse 18. A somewhat curious verse from our gospel lesson, Jesus' words, "But not a hair of your head shall perish." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I don't think that I need to tell you that there's an end coming. All of us have been preoccupied for weeks because of the fact that, in a sense, Friday is an extra time, the day on which the last requirement of every course must be in the hands of the prophet. That is, unless you are one of those like me who, because of circumstances beyond one's control, at the chapter from the final week, need that ethereal thing known as the extension. I'm fairly sure also that your feelings concerning the end of the quarter are similar to mine. Some apprehension mixed in with a good deal of anticipation. Let's get this thing over with so that we can go on to the next quarter and be one more step closer to the end of that last quarter of our seminary existence, which, for me, God willing, will come in 6 months. But these certainly less than final ends are only very pale reminders of that which the lesson this time of the church year constantly holds before us. The last end, the final end, the end of all things. This is the day, the day of that eschaton is included in Malachi's word. "Behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubborn," says the Lord of hosts, "so that it will leave them neither root nor branch." The Lord Jesus also, in his great eschatological vision, recorded for us by the evangelist, is very explicit. Looking ahead some time and into eternity, Jesus warns us of those terrible events which will be signs of and which will precede the end. The judgment of God on sin, the destruction of Jerusalem, wars and tumult, nation rising against nation, famine, pestilences, natural disasters are all signs that the end is not far off. And the anxiety and travail which is produced by the end of an academic quarter is nothing compared to the tumult and the travail of the end. But these predictions of our Lord are given not just to frighten people, but they form the framework in which he gives his warnings and promises, which should serve to provide us with direction, encouragement, and comfort as we await his coming. They are the framework in which Jesus says, "Now when these things begin to take place, look up and raise your head, for your redemption is drawing near." The tucked away in Jesus' description of the end times is the curious statement which is our text and theme. "Not a hair of your head will perish." At first glance, this seems to be incongruous, to say the least. After all, Jesus had just finished talking about all those things which happened during persecutions of all ages. He told his disciples, "You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and kinsmen and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake." But then he goes on to say, "Not a hair of your head will perish." Surely this does not mean that no one is going to ever lose his hair in a persecution. But to understand this, we must go to another passage in which Jesus talks about hair. Matthew chapter 10, verse 30. He says, "Even the very hairs of your head are all numbered." So the reference to God's knowledge of and protection of even our hair is a striking illustration of his divine providence for all believers. So when the disciples suffered persecution and death, that does not mean that God has deserted him. God is always faithful, never deserting his people. Down to the very last hair on our head, we are in the protection of God's care. Nothing happens to us which is outside of the will of God. He works all things for our final good. In other words, he plans everything so as to lead us into eternal life. That's why no one can pluck us out of his hands. And so when the trials and the tumults and afflictions of the end times come upon us, when the trials and the anxieties which of this earthly existence which seem to overwhelm us at times, we have this firm promise of our Lord Jesus. Not a hair of your head will perish. Now at the end of the quarter, we are always reminded of the fact that the promise of a good grade is conditioned by our performance. The Jesus promise here is not conditioned or made effective by our performance, but by his performance. And his record is perfect. His promise is effective and sure. His promises are anchored in himself as our cornerstone. His promises for us are anchored in his love for us, the love which prompted him to go to the cross. But he loves us in spite of the fact that we are the ones who deserve to perish. We deserve to lose not only our hair, but our bodies and souls as well. For under the law, we deserve nothing but eternal destruction. Yet Christ tells us, not a hair of your head will perish. This promise is firm and certain because instead of destroying us, God destroyed his own son. So Christ perished, yes, perished on the cross in order that we might not perish. Christ was cursed on the cross, cursed because of the load of our sins which he carried. But the curse of sin and its destroying effect in our lives were completely undone in the glorious resurrection of Christ. Therefore, because he died and rose for us, his promise is sure. Not a hair of your head will perish. This is a promise that we cannot hear enough in these latter days. It's a promise for time and for eternity. And as such a promise, it is anchored not only in Christ's actions for us here in time, but also in God's actions on our behalf in Christ in eternity. St. Paul writes in Ephesians, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He destined us in love to be his son through Jesus Christ our Lord. Long before we were born, God knew us in Christ and graciously made us his own. Even before the foundations of the world, God picked us out in Christ. And then having sent Christ to perish and to rise for us, God has carried out in Christ this loving decision. And now in our baptism, he comes to us and chooses us and makes us his own. In our baptism, Christ perishing and his resurrection become our death to sin and our resurrection to new life. Through the word and the supper, God now continues his work of strengthening us and preserving us. Surely, therefore, not a hair of our head will perish. On the other hand, this is not at all to say that we can sit back and take our ease and do whatever we want to. The Lord's warning remains. Take heed that you are not led astray. Watch and pray. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. God therefore calls us here to remember in whom we stand and to remember that we cannot stand apart from him. God calls us here to return daily to our baptism, thereby confessing our sins and trusting in his promise you shall daily rise to walk with him in newness of life. Our Lord says to his prophet Malachi, but for you who fear me, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. Luther's comment on this verse is most appropriate for our close. In those days, Luther writes, a new sun will shine. It is the Son of Righteousness who justifies. He sends out the sort of rays that make men righteous and free from their sins. He drives out every human attitude of justly love. These rays are the word of the gospel which penetrates our hearts and is seen by our faith. The words of Jesus, our Son of Righteousness, are exactly that kind of comforting word. Not a hair of your head will perish. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise for prayer.